A Matter of Solutions. A feature program to mark UN Day 1972, the 27th anniversary of the United Nations, produced by United Nations Radio.
Problem 1. Problem 2. Problem 3. Problems, and problems. They come and go one after another, sometimes in pairs, but most often in floods. Whether they like it or not, people and nations are continually engaged in a problem-solving exercise. We create institutions, devise strategies and plans to seek solutions to problems. So it is that some 53 years ago, nations created an institution which they believed would avert war for all time, the League of Nations. It failed. 26 years later, another organization was born naturally out of a world problem, war, born to solve world problems. For the past 27 years, the United Nations has been involved in a continuous problem-solving exercise. The problems brought before the World Organization are sometimes referred to as issues and questions.
The question of Namibia.
The question of Korea.
The question of the establishment of an international university.
The question of the continuation of the joint inspection unit.
Small questions, important questions of procedure, questions of substance, and those tangled ones called political questions.
Qui est-ce qui définit si une question politique est importante?
Who is to decide whether a political question is important or not? By what golden rule can the distinction be made? Personally, I hold the view that all political questions are important, and that every member of the Assembly is free at any time to express its views on political questions.
That was only the beginning, the very first session of the UN General Assembly in 1946. Now the 27th session, 1972.
Instead of making political issue of this question, whether it be in the General Assembly, Sixth Committee, or any other body, what about referring it to a committee in order to prepare a dispassionate, objective study of the question before the Sixth Committee is seized of the question?
Multifarious is but one of the adjectives used to describe the questions and problems in the United Nations today. Ugly problems, burning problems, urgent problems, and many others.
There may be differences of opinion as to precisely what measures the international community should adopt to deal with the problem. But there can be and there should be no difference of view among men of reason as to the urgency and as to the magnitude of the problem. Nor can there be differences of view among men of reason as to the global nature of the problem and the proper and indeed the only forum for dealing with global problems of this magnitude is the United Nations.
The United Nations has become something like a huge clearinghouse for international problems. It has created its own institutions and agencies to help in the problem-solving exercise. The problem with UN problems is one of solutions. For any one problem, there are innumerable solutions.
This debate has not substantially advanced the Middle East towards a solution of its tensions. We should not be surprised at this. What is needed for a solution of the Middle Eastern crisis is not public controversy, but private conciliation.
In our search for peace, justice must be the basis, for we cannot have a final settlement unless it is a just one, and to have a just settlement in our area, the rights of the people of Palestine should no longer be ignored.
Solutions are offered for problems which are not even discussed formally in the World Organization.
The Swedish government has persistently expressed its support for a political solution to the Vietnam tragedy.
The United States government should withdraw immediately and unconditionally all its armed forces and those of its followers from Indochina so that the peoples of those countries may solve their own problems independently of and free from foreign interference. That is the key to the relaxation of tension in the Far East.
There is not a dearth of solutions for major problems such as disarmament.
La delegación argentina estima que al igual que con toda medida de desarme.
My delegation considers that, as in the case of any disarmament measure, the solution to the serious danger entailed in the production, possession, and possible use of this type of weapon can only be found through conciliation and cooperation inspired by a desire to overcome antagonisms.
По мнению советского правительства, проблема разоружения приобретает качество новое.
In the view of the Soviet government, the problem of disarmament is acquiring a qualitatively new and even more timely significance. The convening of a World Disarmament Conference can draw the attention of governments and public opinion in all states in the world to this important problem, upon whose solution depend the well-being and perhaps the very existence of the whole of mankind.
Those were some of the hundreds of solutions to problems offered by governments and delegations to the United Nations. Occasionally, solutions emerged from non-governmental sources. For instance, from petitioners.
Constantly expose those who collaborate with South Africa. Use diplomatic and other pressures to dissuade these collaborators. Provide assistance to the liberation movement in its legitimate struggle.
In 1970, the youth of the world came to the United Nations with their own solutions.
There is only one thing that can be done in order to establish peace in the world. And that one thing is to eliminate imperialism and colonialism.
The World Youth Assembly demands that most of the expenditures intended for armament should be allocated to the education of the youth of the Third World.
Solutions to world problems flow liberally into the United Nations, which has become something like a hospital laboratory. We know the individual solutions are being molded into collective UN solutions when we hear something like this.
Remove the first five operative paragraph of the Afghanistan draft and replace it by the first paragraph of my initial resolution. Then we would add three other operative paragraphs. We would take note, for instance, of the response of the parties to the
diplomatic incisions, dissections, graftings, and transplants, all aimed at collective solutions.
The delegation of Malta will vote in favor of reinstating the item on the creation of favorable conditions for the peaceful reunification of Korea on the agenda of the current session.
South Africa will vote against the draft resolution incorporating the program of action for implementation of the declaration on the granting of independence to colonial countries and peoples.
Malaysia?
Yes.
Yes. Bolivia?
Si.
Si. Botswana?
Yes.
Yes.
This is the final round of the search for a collective solution.
Madagascar?
No.
No. Tunisia?
Abstention.
Abstention. Uganda.
Abstention. Somehow, sometime, abstention. Collective solutions or decisions do emerge from the United Nations. They take the form of resolutions. On the eve of its 27th session, the General Assembly had passed about 2,902 resolutions. The Security Council, for its part so far, has some 319 resolutions on record. The collective solutions of the United Nations also take the form of declarations.
There is the Universal Declaration of Human Rights.
The Declaration on the Granting of Independence to Colonial Countries and Peoples.
The Declaration on the Strengthening of International Security.
The Declaration on International Law and Friendly Relations.
And soon a General Assembly Declaration on the Human Environment. Collective UN solutions to international problems also take the form of international conventions and treaties.
There is the Convention on Psychotropic Substances.
The Convention on the Prohibition of Development, Production, and Stockpiling of Bacteriological Weapons.
And the Declaration on the Peaceful Uses of the Seabed and Ocean Floor.
There's a whole catalog of international treaties initiated by and drawn up under the auspices of the United Nations, such as the treaty banning nuclear tests in the atmosphere and the treaty governing the exploration and use of outer space. Broadly speaking, there is no international issue today that cannot find some form of solution, even if only temporary, in the resolutions, declarations, and conventions of the United Nations. Indeed, the UN Charter itself provides a general set of solutions to be applied to the problems of war and peace. But of course, the United Nations is not the only organization or institution devising solutions. Parliaments, congresses, national assemblies and presidia, regional organizations, and individuals outside the United Nations are also engaged in problem-solving and decision-making. Decisions and solutions are made on the premise of national interest or sovereignty. Many national and unilateral solutions have international repercussions. Thus, the collective solutions contained in the declarations and conventions of the United Nations have to compete and contend with unilateral, bilateral, and multilateral solutions that emerge from all sources outside the World Organization. Here is Secretary General Kurt Waldheim.
The peoples of the world and their representatives increasingly cry out against war, inhumanity, poverty, or injustice. Governments with their immediate and crushing responsibilities, while deeply conscious of these feelings, must, on the other hand, often place equal or sometimes even greater emphasis on sovereign authority, domestic jurisdiction, or national interest. The contrast between these two attitudes is one of the major dilemmas of the United Nations, and it accounts for much of the current popular disillusionment with the World Organization.
The delegates, too, realize that there is some contention between collective UN solutions and national solutions and interests, as we hear from the Foreign Minister of Brazil, Mario Gibson Barbosa, in his address to the 27th session of the UN General Assembly.
How can one deny the validity of the claim to a broader role for the international community in the solution of problems that, after all, are of world collective interest? Why does our organization so frequently find itself bypassed? Whatever the reasons for the progressive political, diplomatic, and even financial impoverishment of the United Nations, it is urgent to reinvigorate our organization, to fortify it as a converging center for international politics, for only the United Nations can provide the juridical political parameters of conciliation between legitimate national interests and what suits the collective interest.
Problems will continue to flow, pile one upon another, assume different forms and dimensions, and complicate situations. There seems to be no disagreement that solutions have to be found. Indeed, nations still bring their problems to the United Nations for solutions. But which solution should prevail?
This has been A Matter of Solutions, a special UN radio feature to mark United Nations Day 1972, the 27th anniversary of the United Nations.